righty, very good. Jed, we are back and set and ready to roll. Thank you to all of you that are joining us here today. This is the MediaBids Power Hour. Thank you so much for being with us. We've been hosting these calls for three-plus years with participants and callers from all over the world. It's a delight to be with you. And, Jed, thank you again, as always, for the wonderful sponsorship and the wonderful cooperation and coordination. It's a delight to invite your clients and your publishing relationships and, of course, my Power Hour ones as well. It's a delight to bring us all here together. I'd love for you to say some opening words to the group. That would be great. I'll say some opening words, and then we're going to dive right into our topic here today, okay?
All right, great. Well, first I want to thank Ernest for really making these teleforums worth listening to. He brings the knowledge. I'm the fall guy. And also I just want to mention quickly, you know, MediaBids, many of you are already registered on, if you're not, please, you know, give us a call or check out our website, MediaBids.com. We're a marketplace where about 15,000 advertisers interact with publications, make purchases, learn more about those publications, and it's a great way to build up your build up your advertising revenue stream in a method that doesn't require hiring more salespeople. So if you want to learn more about that, please feel free to give us a call. In our follow-up email, all of our contact information will be there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And actually, Jed, even in the invitation to come to today's call, the confirmation, the website for MediaBids is right at the very bottom of all of the emails and the communications. It's at MediaBids.com. Please take a look at their website. For those of you that are already working with MediaBids, you know both the power and the success of what they're creating in driving revenue for your publication. And for those of you that are not, I would passionately encourage you to take a close look at MediaBids. I work with Jed very closely and with June and with John and those on his team. They do a wonderful job. And they're focused entirely on working with publications and publishers like yourself. So, my name is Ernest Orienti. My company is Power Hour. I launched my company 12 and a half years ago. I've been in publishing like many of you. I've run publications, owned publications, run sales teams of upwards of 60 at a time. I've driven more than $40 million in budgets and financial responsibility, reporting to companies with more than $1 billion. But, like all of you and many of you, I've also run a publication off my kitchen table. I've done it all. Today, I've worked with more than 600 publishing companies around the world in 8 time zones. We help them drive more revenue. We help them compete better. We help them hire better people. And we also help them with the buying and selling of publications, which has been very active in light of the current economy that we're in. So a wide array of services. All that we do is focus, though, on helping publishing companies and publishing professionals be more successful. Okay? All righty, Jed. We've got a big topic today, yes?
Yep. Right.
All right. So today's topic, we're going to talk about how to maximize your distribution and circulation sales presentations. We've had a lot of requests for this. I do a lot of work with my publishing clients on this. This is really the key to success. I was working actually with a publishing company earlier this morning, and I literally said if I only had 20 minutes to give a sales presentation, I would spend 17 and a half minutes right here. Okay? Because in the end, if you really think about your publication, I don't care if your publication is the size of your thumbnail. I don't care if your publication is the size or the thickness of the entire ocean. I don't care if your publication is printed on rag stock, black and white, purple, black and blue, or 88 karat gold. It really doesn't matter. In the end, a publication is a publication is a publication. Now, make no mistake. I know I'm boiling it down to the lowest common denominator. I know that there are advantages related to our editorial, for those of you that have editorial, and for the advertisers and the way you uniquely position your publication. And I understand that. I am not downplaying that. But in the end, the business that we're in is putting the right publication in front of the right audience. That's the business that we're in, and we have to do that really, really well. Okay? So that's the key point. So today in our call, we're going to cover 3 key points. We're going to talk about how to know your competitors' distribution and circulation story better than your own. Number 2, we're going to talk about the 8 keys for giving a strong distribution or circulation presentation. And then certainly number three, selling your distribution and circulation story, what matters most. I want all of you to know that I continue to wrap the word distribution and circulation together. I know that we have those of you that have free publications. I know we have direct mail and controlled circulation on this call, and I also know we have paid circulation. So I want all of you to recognize that we have a variety of publications, magazines, newspapers, a whole cross-section of participants on this call, and I want to speak to all of you. But whether we're talking distribution or circulation, there are some subtle nuances, but you really, really have to get all of the points that are we're going to talk about today correct. Remember, again, please send your questions to Ernest@PowerHour.com or hit reply back to the confirmation, and we'll be delighted to tuck those right in. Jed, let's dive right in here. Let's talk about knowing our publication's distribution story better than our own, okay? And I want all of you to know that we mean this. This is important, okay? For whatever you know about your own company, the question is, how much do you really know about your competitor? And this cuts across all lines, not just distribution and circulation, but this cuts across servicing, selling, their website, their distribution or circulation advantages, their weaknesses, their salespeople. We've done entire calls called Know Your Competitors, and I do a lot of work with my clients, and there's a whole nother hour of call just related to that. But the bottom line is you have to know their distribution story. So, for example, you have to have one of their media kits. And today, since we're talking about specifically distribution and circulation, you have to know that inside and out. Okay? For those of you that don't have the media kits of your competitors, you need to get them. And by the way, related to your other sales strategies, you have to have them. You can't even talk about building media comparisons, which is one of our important strategies for our clients. You can't build a media comparison without them. But for the purpose of today, you have to look side by side at those distribution and circulation pages. You also need to look at their website, and you need to see what their website says about their distribution and circulation and how they sell it there. Kind of interesting, there's a very subtle point here. For those that we work with that are our clients, we help them with their media kits and then we help them with their websites. It is interesting to me, Jed, I don't know exactly how this happens, but I'll often see one set of information in a media kit and another set of information at their website. And I'm like, they go hand in hand, they go back and forth. I don't know, Jed, how that gets a little off kilter, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
But the same powerful information that goes in a media kit also goes in a website. But I want to also be clear, okay? What you put at your website is not a full media kit. We'll talk about media bids, and Jed, I know you'll have some comments on this. But also be clear, I mean, I've been to competitive websites, and there sits the full media kit. Okay, that makes it really easy for me to pull that up and to draw my comparisons. So what you put at your website may only be some key selling points or some key areas, but if you lay it all out, you make it very easy for a competitor to just scoop it up. Now, Jed, I know in the use of media bids, though, we're set up and configured a little differently like that. Yes?
Right, a little bit. I mean, we offer a media kit that has a lot of information. Certainly not as comprehensive as a mm-hmm. media kit would be that
right.
That a publication would normally hand out. We do have some pricing components on there, which competitors could potentially see. So it's something to just keep in mind as you're using the site. There's no way for us to really convey that information to an advertiser, to as many advertisers as we do, without in a hidden manner. So there is the ability for potentially some competitors to see pricing, but overall, whenever a price is discounted, through the auction system we have, we hide the identity of the publication, so no one can see that except the advertiser who's making the purchase. I don't know if that answers your question.
It does, and I know that we've touched on this along the way in some prior calls, and I know what you have there is more selectively, that provides the information so that an advertiser can make a decision, and the subtle distinction is I'm talking about the actual website of the publication by comparison and what we're putting there as well. So thanks for that clarification, because the information I know that you're providing there at the website is invaluable for those advertisers that are making buying decisions, correct?
Right. Right. Exactly.
Absolutely. Let's also agree, circling back to point number one, any sales proposals, another way to learn about our competitors, any sales proposals, and then specifically how they sell their distribution and specifically how they sell and position their circulation is another great way to learn about your competitors. How do we get those sales proposals? Well, in the world of email, our clients or prospective clients will forward them to us. Sometimes it goes like this. Gee, interesting, Jed, thanks for coming in today, but I just had Mary who was here, and in fact, Mary sent me an email this morning, related to her publication, and be like, oh, that's great, I'd love to review it. Oh, okay, let's review it together. Hey, oftentimes it happens. Some of your best advertisers will just take an email and forward it to you or make a copy of a proposal that's in their office. Be bold, ask for it, and three-quarters of the time you'll get an exact, oh, you want a copy? Yeah, sure, I will. You know, I've had some advertisers call me up and go, oh, yeah, Mary's just in my office. She left her brand-new media kit. You want a copy, Ernest? Come on over. You want a copy? I'll fax it or I'll FedEx it. You know, I mean, when you have really tight bonds with your advertisers, you will absolutely get those sales and competitive proposals. Another key point, for those of you that are on our call today that are the owners, the presidents, or hiring managers, you will often get resumes from people who work directly for your competitors or who worked for a competitor in the past. Maybe they worked for a competitor two jobs ago or one job ago. Now they're working for somebody else. And if you want to know more about their distribution, circulation story, and over their overall sales strategies, you always, always interview anybody that sends you a resume that's worked for a competitive publication. You'll learn all kinds of things, like where their storage facilities are, what goes out and what doesn't go out, problems they've had with keeping distribution or circulation personnel, issues with mailing lists that were never really solved, which is why they left, la, la, la. You get my drift, okay? So key point is, point number one, know your competitor's distribution and circulation story better than your own. Jed, as you're listening to me give these specific recommendations, are there any other ideas that come to mind or any questions helpful?
I mean, maybe you should maybe talk a little bit about what a circulation story means. I mean, do you mean in the context of how competitors physically distribute their publications?
Mm-hmm.
How many are printed? You know, how they, you know, what methods they use to gain new subscribers or gain new, you know, or get more people to pick it up in the case of free publications.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess my guess is that you're thinking that you should be pretty specific with this knowledge.
Absolutely. You know, there's a couple of points here, and it really sort of segues into point number two. We want to get the knowledge, and then the question is, okay, what are the things that we're looking for, or what are the things that we have from our distribution story? So when we think about the eight keys, point number two today is called the eight keys for giving a strong distribution and circulation presentation. And so as we're rolling through these key points, as all of you are listening and thinking about your own story, number one, I want you to listen very closely to the key points on two levels. I mean, if you literally want to take a blank sheet of paper and build a Ben Franklin and say us and them, okay, as we're rolling through these key points, you need to be able to ask yourself, what do I know? When we've talked, for example, about CPM, what is my CPM? And then over on the other side of the paper with my competitor or competitors, plural, what do I know about their CPM? Okay? So every point that we're going to cover here has a companion point. A, what do I know? You know, can I answer this information myself? Is it part of my sales presentation? Is it in my media comparison, which is a topic that we've done moons ago but is ever so critical in your own sales success, and distribution is part of that. And then what do I know about my actual competitors one by one? So let's go through this, okay? So point number one of the eight key points is, do we know the demographics of our readers? Or, as a question, what do we know about the demographics of our readers? Okay, and how do we gain that information? When was the last time, for example, we did a reader survey? What do we know about the buying power? I have a client in Europe that says to me, hey, listen, I know the buying power of my readers. Based on our surveys, we know that they spend $120 million in this space. And let me show you the surveys that we do every single year. I have another client in Canada that talks about their $60 million buying power. Another group out in California that talks about $40 million. The point being that these dollars, these numbers, if you think about the readers, the demographics, the psychographics, what do you know? That can come from your own surveys. That can come from industry research. That can come from the web. That can come from the professional organizations that you belong to. It gets captured in all kinds of ways. So, for example, for some of you that are on this call that focus on the real estate world, NAR, the National Association of Realtors, does all of their own research. Your own company may have internal research. Your own local board of realtors may also have their own city or statewide research. All of that compiles together and compiles together, and that data gives you the telescope view and then the microscope view of your marketplace.
Yeah, and even at a more basic level, the census data, which is all available online at the U.S. Census site, you can break it down by zip code, offers a great sort of high-level demographic picture.
I love that. In fact, that sparks an idea. I've got a publication client that works in the home improvement space up in the Northwest, and they mail to very specific high-end zip codes, and we have unbelievable data about who lives in those zip codes that comes right from the census data, and you should see the media kit and media presentation that we give just focused on that, and we cream our competitors because of that. Okay? So great point. So point number one, we've got to know about our readers. Point number two is pretty straightforward. It's a subtle point, but we have to know the frequency of our publication versus our competitors. And this seems like a subtle point until I begin to say, well, how many competitors do you have, and then what's the frequency, and then do you have that written up, and does the marketplace know it? For example, we're an annual, they're an annual. Well, yeah, but wait a minute. There are some annuals that are 12 issues and some that are 13. Okay, and all of a sudden that has a huge impact on what the annual is, because you've got an extra issue in there, and that has a huge impact on your cost per thousand. And when you build a media comparison to break that out and to show and reflect the distribution numbers, it shows a very different story. Okay, if you print 50,000 publications monthly times 12, that's one number. And if you do it times 13, that's another. That can be your strength, or that can be your weakness, depending on how you show that. Speaking of just frequency in general, there are those that compete in a marketplace where some publications are weekly, some are monthly, some are quarterly, some are twice a year. I've seen all kinds of ways that publications and publishers have served a marketplace, and I will tell you that there is some real important distinctions, and even though you may know it, and this is the key point on this, even though you know what the distinction is, the point is, does the marketplace? And there is nobody in the world that's going to better tell that story better than you. Okay? Comments or thoughts on that, Jed?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that becomes a key issue because each of those different methods of, or different time periods of distribution, all have their pros and cons. I mean, there's you can make valid arguments that for example. A daily may not be as good for some customers because it doesn't, it doesn't stay in people's hands as long. In some cases, mm-hmm. An annual might be too long, mm-hmm. Or a monthly, or so there's ways that you can sort of frame the argument based on those distribution lengths.
Absolutely, and you have to be really clear on what the pros and what the cons are. In some cases, when I've begun working with clients, we've actually assessed all of the competitors, and we've actually shifted frequency. We've actually shifted their rate card and their media kit and approach just for that very reason. In some cases, we've said, no, it's our advantage. We're not going anywhere. Let me just comment. Hillary, thanks for the email. And again, for those of you that are enjoying and participating in this call, just send an email to Ernest@powerhour.com, and I'll field your questions real time. Hillary just sent a note saying, media kits are printed. Websites can be updated. This may be the reason for discrepancies. What do you propose the webmaster do to update the info and draw attention to the update? A couple of points there, Hillary. Number one, media kits are printed, but all of our clients have a printed version that they do once a year. Then they have a PDF of that we continue to update, and then any updates to the PDF are then also made at the website where appropriate. Again, we do not take the full media kit, but if there's a small change related to distribution and that does impact the website, then we go back over there and we make certain that they're that they are both in tandem. And then how to draw attention to the update. We've done an entire call about the importance of an e-newsletter and an e-newsletter that's monthly, and that goes to advertisers and prospects, and that's where you draw attention to it, Hillary, okay? So I hope that's answered your question, and I'll continue to field questions during the course of this call. Let's continue, and let's go back because we're talking about the 8 keys for making a strong distribution and circulation presentation. Let's talk about number 3. Jed, this just ties into what we're talking about. Cost per thousand, the CPM. I want all of you to know that you absolutely need that number. You need to know what your cost per thousand is, and you absolutely need to know the cost per thousand of your competitors. I cannot tell you the number of times that I've begun working with a publishing company, and I ask that, you know, generally in the first, you know, call or two, in the first couple of times we're working together, and I get a lot of, like, you know, silence, you know, silent moments, and I'm like, we don't have that number. I mean, that's our number. By the way, how about our competitors while we're at it? And there's this mad scramble for, you know, we've not calculated the numbers, we've not crunched the numbers, and then I'll ask, you know, well, what is the cost per thousand when we look at a full page or a half page or a quarter page? You know, what does that look like, okay? And especially it goes back to the frequency. When you tie in the frequency and you tie in the cost per thousand, all of a sudden, which this ties directly back to the media comparison as part of our sales tools and sales strategies, all of a sudden, you have a new way of looking at a competitor. And so, you know, oh, Ernest, you know, and I'll hear this, oh, Ernest, you know, they're so much less expensive than us. Or, oh, Ernest, they have so much more distribution and circulation than us. And I'll say, well, let's just boil it down to the common denominator of cost per thousand. And all of a sudden, they and I all have a new look at this. It's a brand new day. Holy smokes, Ernest, we've been running around for 5 years thinking we were the tail of the dog, and the fact is we're not. Right?
Right.
Jed, it makes sense, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And for those of you who don't know, and I have this on my computer because, you know, I often get confused by it. Cost per thousand is the cost of one ad times 1,000 divided by your circulation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that equals cost per thousand.
Right.
Yeah, and it becomes a really important number, too, not only in comparing yourself with competitors in print, but also to effectively compare yourself with other mediums.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It really is the only way, and I guess for me it's really been a question of, you know, how do we actually showcase that? Let me see. There's a question that's just come in. From Douglas, how does readership play into your presentation versus actual print count? Do you figure CPM on readership as well as print count? Ah, now that's an interesting point. Douglas, I believe what you're asking, and you can send me a follow-up email if I'm not addressing this right, but I know what that readership issue is, something like, you know, the pass-along. A publication, you know, we print 10,000 on this, but the readership is 2.5. Therefore, isn't that really 25,000? Okay. Douglas, the answer is yes and no. Unless you have something that has been documented and researched for the pass-along rate, and you're able to say, my pass-along rate is 3.5, and in my research, my competitor is 1.5, and if we're both printing 10,000, I have a huge advantage. If you can declare that, that's separate. And I have some of my clients that have done studies on that. If you can't, then, and you're just using the general 2.5 pass along, you know, mom picks up the publication, dad reads it, and Mary, the next door neighbor, grabs it. There's your 2.5, okay? Or my Johnny reads it, whatever that is. Then you can brag about, you know, then you can use 2.5. But in the end, if you're using 2.5 to drive your CPM, then you have to also use the 2.5 to drive the CPM for your competitors. So in the end, it's a wash. Therefore, it's better to just use, you know, what you're printing or what your circulation is or what your distribution is, and use that number. And Douglas, if you want to send me a follow-up email, I'd be happy to address that. Let's continue. Point number 4, we want to take a look when we're talking about our distribution circulation story, and let's recognize that, and really the term is PrinterNet. It's a combination of our print strategy, and it's also a combination of our electronic distribution strategy. I want all of you to know, we've done multiple calls related to this, and I do a lot of work over the last 10 and 12 years on this. You must get your print strategy right, okay, whether it's free, free distribution, whether it's controlled circulation or paid, you must get the print component right. But in my opinion, there is still a huge missing hole on the electronic distribution. All right? You must get both right. I actually was working with a client over the last couple of weeks, and they said, yeah, but Mike, I have a competitor who is really weak with their print but strong with their electronic, and they're out in the marketplace bragging about that. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You got to do both. One is just as important as the other, but what I see more often is strong local or strong regional or strong circulation, but I don't see the strong electronic. Okay? And that's really a very big piece. We really have to have that piece in place. Point number five. We've been talking about free publications, free distribution, versus paid, which we know, newsstand, versus controlled circulation, which is generally B2B and trade. I do want all of you to know that there are some spaces where you do have some competitors that are free, some that have controlled circulation, and some that have paid all in the same space. Okay. Once again, going back to the media comparison approach and also talking about, you know, the way in which we sell and present it, we really have to draw on the distinctions and the advantages of each of those. Okay? So what do we know, Jed, related to free publications? They're everywhere, and the buyer self-selects, right?
Right.
So, for example, Jed, if you want a, you know, boat publication, you're not picking up a real estate publication, right?
Right.
Yeah. And what do we know about controlled circulation?
It's right. It's selected for you, but targeted to a specific group.
Right. Targeted, exactly. And I must tell you that I have publications that I get about 60 to 80 magazines every month, Jed. And there are a number of those that are controlled circ. Each year they come back and they query me and they ask for more information, you know, from me and so forth. But no one's really come back to me by phone or by email and overtly said, do you still find this publication valuable? You know, there's some slop in there is what I'm really saying. Okay.
Right.
And then, of course, the third kind is paid. And what do we know about paid? Paid means it's self-selecting and people are paying, you know, $10, $12, $15, $18, whatever that is, in order to purchase a publication. So that certainly sets us apart. Let me just also take a peek here. Ted writes and says, my question is comparing our distribution CPM to other media rather than print. We are the newspaper in our market, competing against TV and radio. My frequency is daily. What is TV or radio? Wow. Yeah, Ted, you've got the same challenge. When we're taking a look at any other, you're absolutely right. I mean, when we define competitors, you always have to look at print competitors first. Those are the nose-to-nose and the obvious, Ted. But no doubt, if you're going in and from a newspaper perspective and advertisers are saying, but I also use TV, but I also use radio, but I also use billboard, but I also use this website, you've got to drive CPM for each of those. And you need a media comparison, not the subject of today's call, but you positively need a media comparison for every one of those advertising choices. Okay? So great question, and thank you. Let me see what else, if there was one more question. And Douglas said, oh, exactly. Thanks, thanks, Douglas. Appreciate that. Douglas said, yep, we nailed this question right on the head there, Jed. Okay, so you have to make a distinction, free, paid, or controlled circ. Understand the differences, and you have to be prepared in your sales presentation to talk about the differences in their distribution and their circulation. I want to make point number six, okay, to say kind of six and seven are interrelated. Six says we need to do distribution audits. Seven is we need to have audited distribution. Okay? So let me make a couple of distinctions. If you have a free publication distributed by your own team, let's call them employees, or contract team, or an outside resource, you absolutely need to audit those you absolutely need to audit those distribution locations just to validate that actually everything that's being provided or placed in free distribution is actually being distributed. Okay? The way I recommend you do it is have your sales team audit one location a day, five a week, 20 a month. You multiply that times the number of salespeople, and they're actually out there auditing those distribution locations. Okay? If we're talking about controlled or paid publications, when we have audited distribution or verified distribution, now you have a new selling vehicle and a new selling opportunity. Jed, do you want to say just a few words about audited publications?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, the nice thing from an advertiser perspective is that, you know, an audited publication that you may not be as familiar with as perhaps some of its competitors, you know, gives you at least a degree of confidence that, you know, you're getting what you're paying for. It doesn't cost much. If any of you are members of state or national press associations or newspaper or magazine trade associations, most of them offer discounted rates for doing that. And it's probably worth the investment if it's something you can swing.
Absolutely. And you know what? And when you're in a marketplace and you have audited distribution or circulation and you can sell and tell that in the marketplace, that is huge. I can tell you that I would not go out and create audited distribution. I would not pay for it. It does cost extra. I would not do that if I was in a marketplace where nobody else does. The moment one does, you need to be prepared to join. Flip side, if you're in a marketplace and competing against any kind of advertising sources, but certainly print, where you do have those that are being audited, you're at a disadvantage. You need to add that in. I'm just going to tell you that if you're selling against a competitor and they're walking in with all of their certifications and all of their audited distribution, that's to plant a seed of doubt that you, that your publication, does not have that level of credibility. And that is a really big hole and a really important point. Okay? Let's see. Anthony wrote, how do you work website readership into your CPM when compared to competitors who do not have websites? That is a huge question and a great question. You absolutely positively tie that in. And the way to do it is to tie in the unique visitors to your website is one way, okay? And you can also drill down even deeper. Every website is configured a little bit differently, but unique visitors is a way of looking at your CPM because you've got those that are coming to the website. If you can take it another level deeper and look at where their actual searches are going or actually specifically drilling down even to the specific advertiser, then you have really unbelievable CPM comparisons.
You mean the specific advertiser, the number of people who link to it from the publication's website?
Correct. There really are three tiers. I'm going to use I'll use again real estate just as a quick example with a real estate publication. So you have your number of unique visitors that come to your main website. Then if you could take it another step deeper, let's pretend I'll use Atlanta, the Buckhead's an area. So if we could take it down to Buckhead, then we know how many of the unique came and searched for Buckhead. And then we specifically know those who search for REMAX at Buckhead. You follow me on that?
Right.
Okay? So you can end up with three tiers of numbers, and you could describe that in a couple of different ways. That's a wonderful question, Anthony, for all of you to know. The more information you have on the electronic side, you can combine that with your CPM. Some of my clients in their selling strategies, as we're kind of working on this together, we'll go in and actually roll it in together, and then in some cases, we look at it separate. Okay? We look at the print CPM, and we look at the electronic. The only hesitation I'll say about looking at it from the electronic side is sometimes, Jed, the CPM is so low, so good, in other words, on
right.
the electronic, that it creates a problem on the print, and all of a sudden you've got advertisers saying, you know, maybe I don't need the print, maybe I'll just keep the website, you know?
Well, right. I mean, it gets back to sort of the subject of other calls, and that is, you know, the next step in this is figuring out sort of what the response is. And if your advertisers have a way of measuring the response, and, you know, we've been advocates of, you know, unique 800 numbers on these calls before. But if your advertiser has a way of measuring response, then you can take it a level deeper and not only compare CPM, but also compare the quality of responses that you get from medium to medium.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most people find, you know, they get more responses from online, but they're less quality than they would be if from a print product.
Yeah, that's an interesting point to be able to track the difference and be able to gauge that. I can tell all of you there is a way to do it, and the way you do it is you set up, let's use again this real estate example. Let's use example of REMAX in Buckhead, for example. You could have at the website one tracking number for that. You could have a separate tracking number for the leads that are coming in by print, and you could actually measure each separately and even be able to measure the quality of the leads coming on both sides. So there actually is a way to do that nowadays.
Right, okay. Right. It's not that difficult. It just takes a little planning. But for those of you who don't know, that there are very, very inexpensive and easy-to-apply tools that are available that can give you all of the data that you would ever want to know on visitors to your website. And the way that it's done is that the IP address that someone is using that's attached to someone's computer has a geographic location associated with it. It's not as accurate as tracking an 800 number, for example, but it'll give you, within a 20 or 30 mile radius, sort of where that person is from. So you're able to see, you're able to load this program onto your website, and you're able to see where people are going and what they're doing on your website. You can see the links that they actually click on, which is a valuable tool both from a an advertiser and a CPM perspective, but also it's a valuable tool in terms of figuring out where your website has gone wrong, where you're losing people.
Absolutely. And this is Ernest. Just Jed, in response to that, I must say the words, and it does continue to amaze me in calendar year 2008 that when I ask the question, how many unique visitors or how many people selected Buckhead or how many people selected REMAX, it is stunning to me that I get long pauses on my coaching calls and with clients, and they say, we don't have that, or we can't get that, or that's not available. I need all of you to know that answer is just simply not acceptable, okay? The amount of web analytics, the amount of web data that's out there, that's been out there for the last 5 or 7 years or more is stunning and spectacular, and I passionately need your company or your team or your technology department or your web services, whomever does it, to step up or step out. I can't be polite on this one. I need all of you to know that if we're here driving revenue, you cannot have a technology team or technology supporting you that does not serve you extraordinarily well. You absolutely need to know what the phone results are that are coming in for every advertiser, and you positively need to know what the web stats and what the web success is without any questions asked. Okay? If you want to be an advertising and sales success and to drive the success of your publication and your website visibility and be able to merge in all the CPM and be able to do what we're talking about right here, you can't do it with one hand tied behind your back. You need the data. Okay? And if we want to know why Google is doing so well, is because they're crushing the advertising space with this data. They have everything in place. There's no guesswork, and that's why their footprint is so large all over the world, and we need to pay attention. And frankly, the tools that we're talking about, these are not bleeding edge or leading edge. They've been around a long time. I don't see publications and advertising teams bringing it all together and selling from that and renewing from that and being able to go into the marketplace. I want to cover point number 8, and we'll wrap up because we talked about 8 key points. The last point, number 8, is with your permission. I want all of you to write that down. With your permission is a very important phrase. It's the nicest, most polite way to be able to say in a sales presentation, listen, thanks, Mary, for your question about our distribution or our circulation. With your permission, can I draw on some comparisons? You've mentioned publication X. I'd like to address their distribution, or I'd like to address their circulation story. And I'm going to do it in a very organized way using a media comparison, but with your permission, can I bring that out and show you? Okay? And then move forward. Okay? So with your permission is the 8th key strategy for making a strong distribution and circulation presentation. And I wanted to add just one bonus one because, Jed, you tied this in a little bit ago related to subscribers, whether it's paid subscribers or whether it's controlled circ, and you said, how do they gain their subscribers? Okay. Right. How do you gain your subscribers, and how do your competitors? For example, I have some clients that gain subscribers because they get the membership list of the exact organization who reads their publication. So imagine for a moment, for example, if it was a golf publication or, a gun publication. But imagine if you got the subscriber list from that golf organization or that gun association or whatever the professional organization is, you got that list of members, or your publication was sent directly to them. That is a huge advantage. Or, for example, if it's a golf organization and as part of their membership, they get a subscription to your publication because it's paid and it's tied under their membership or their dues. For example, in some work that I do with a very large national apartment association, my annual dues include a subscription to their publication. That's a huge advantage. That's a huge story. And if you have that as an advantage, great. And if you don't, that's a real tough one to sell through. You need a very specific strategy. So, Jed, when you said that a few minutes ago about how they gain subscribers, I wanted to capsule that. I also have some publications, Jed, that they go to trade shows that reach out to consumers. For example, in the home improvement space, they either sponsor or host or provide the exclusive publication at home improvement shows, and guess what they get? The list of all the attendees.
Right.
Okay. What a huge competitive advantage once again. Okay. Let me just pause right here. Before we move to the third point that we're going to cover here today, again, you can send your questions to earnest@powerhour.com. We'll field them real time like we're doing. Thank you to those of you that have been sending your questions, Douglas and Hillary and Anthony. There's a whole bunch. I'm just kind of picking those that are rolling along here. And then please also know at the top of the hour when we finish up the call, I'll open up the lines for maybe 10 or 15 minutes, and I'll field any of your questions. And Jed and I will field any questions that you have real time, okay? So let's talk about point number three. Point number three is really the mechanics of this. Point number three says, selling your distribution or circulation story, what matters most, all right? And we're going to talk about six key points here, okay? And I want all of you to know that when you're out making sales presentations, and I was serious at the beginning of this call when I said, you know, if I only had 20 minutes, I'd spend 17 and a half on my distribution and my circulation story because that's what sets me apart. And I meant that, okay? I would actually encourage every single one of you, for those of you that have free distribution and actually have delivery routes or delivery routes, depending on which part of the country you're in, I want to encourage you to go out and start today. Go run a route. Go to the warehouse. Go do pickup and deliveries. Go do the drop-offs. Go taste it. In fact, for those of you that are hiring managers, include that right in the first week of training for new salespeople. Salespeople in advertising who understand distribution can sell it the best and can sell it with the most passion. For those of you who have circulation that are working with mailing lists or mailing houses, working on the, you know, whether it's controlled or whether it's paid, take the same thing. Go spend a day and go work with the circulation team. Go pour through their databases. Go see the updates that they do. Go see how real-time subscriptions come in from the website and how that gets processed. Go experience all of that. It's really an important step. Okay? Let me just quickly see. I saw one more question that came in that might also tie in here. Okay, we'll tuck that in just a little bit. All right, so let's go through these 6 points. The point number one is that you want to have a list of your distribution and circulation. Now, I'm going to dance a little bit, again, back and forth between free and paid because the nuances are a little different here. If you're a free publication, you want a distribution binder. And I'm speaking to those of you that are making in-person presentations. If you're doing this long distance, you have to be a little more careful. You don't want to be shipping your distribution list electronically because I can tell you it's going to go to a prospect and they're going to ship it off to your competitors. You never want to do that. For those of you that are presenting locally, you have a distribution binder. You show it and you take it. It never, ever gets left or gets copied by a client or prospective advertiser. But in that binder, you're going to have your distribution locations sorted three ways, sorted A to Z alphabetical. These are the three ways that your prospects will ask you to show them. Alphabetical, by type of location. For example, here are our major employers, here are our restaurants, here are the grocery stores, et cetera. And then also by the zip code. Gee, what kind of circulation? You know, my company is here. My business is here. What do you have in the surrounding 5 or 10 mile area? So you positively want to have that. Same rules apply, but a little different. Okay, if you've got controlled circulation, then you want to be able to show, hey, look, we have 30,000 readers. and let me show you the breakout. They're all within this region. Let me show you all of the subscribers that are in Connecticut, all the subscribers that are in Rhode Island, all that are in New Jersey. It makes an impact, okay? Then you might also sort it by how they came to you. All of these, page after page, I don't care if there's 180 pages, all of these came from our website. The next 180 pages, they all came from the home kit that we were at. The next 80 pages, they all came from the list that we bought. And let me tell you about that list, okay? You want to be able to showcase and describe the way in which you gain your readers. And if it's 180 pages, you might be pausing going, Ernest, isn't that just absolute overkill? The point is you want to make an impact. You want that advertiser to say, wow, I had no idea. Wow, that's really something. I know all of us have media kits, and we in our sales presentations we say, we print 30,000, or we have 30,000 readers, or we have 30,000 subscribers. That number doesn't carry the weight until you print up and show a list of 30,000 that right. you mail to, or 30,000 that are paying for your publication. That makes a lot more impact, and I promise you, you'll have advertisers that are prospective advertisers that post and say, wow, I had no idea. So point number one. Point number two. When appropriate, I like the use of pie charts. It does not apply in every scenario, okay? But for those, especially in the free publication world, when you can say, hey, look, you know, we're in 50 of the grocery stores. Here's my pie chart. There's 50 of them, and we cover the entire pie chart. And to the right, you have publication number two, which, by the way, is a competitor, who is not available in any grocery store, okay? Or there are 50 locations. We control 40, hence 40 of the 50 in that pie chart is all in red. And there's a little blue sliver that shows my competitor number two only has 10. So pie charts don't always work, but I like to tuck them in here. Any opportunity that I get to show a pie chart is wonderful. Jed, you like that one, yes?
Yeah, yeah, good.
Yeah, you know, that visual, Jed, is really helpful. It doesn't apply all the time, except I'll tell you where it does apply. I like to use graphs and show, for example, here's the graph of our circulation growth. We went from 20,000 to 30,000, and 30 jumped to 60 over the last 5 years. Let me show you competitor number two that went from 30 to 32 to 31 to 30 over the last 5 years. Now, how did I jump from 30 to 60? Well, I secured a list from a key organization. I garnered two new exclusives. I get the list from two important shows, et cetera. Anytime you can depict or show that in a visual way, either by a graph or a pie chart, you have a really nice story. Let's talk about number three. For those of you that have, let me talk about on the controlled and paid circulation size. I really like some visuals here. And I like some pictures and visuals. It might be a picture of the space where your circulation team is. It might be a picture, and I'm talking photographs. It might be pictures of the database. It might be pictures of the coming and going and the delivery, the sorting. However, whatever shows and brings to life your circulation and distribution story. For those of you that are free publications, your actual racks are your visual. Okay? You might have a picture of your warehouse. You might have a picture of your trucks, delivery. You might have a picture of your distribution team. You might have definitely pictures. These are all 8.5 by 11, by the way, in your binder, slipped in plastic, for those of you that are making, of course, you know, face-to-face presentations. Pictures of your racks, the street racks, racks inside of a grocery store, racks that are on a countertop. If you have 10 variations or 5 variations of your racks, then you want to depict and show those, okay? Those pictures really tell 1,000 words related to your visual story, and it's a very important part of your circulation story. Think about point number four. Think about extra or bonus distribution or circulation. Okay. Now, I'm going to talk for just a minute two sides of this, okay? Because we have the print side, but then we also have, I'm going to make a note, Jed, and I want to talk about the print, and I want to talk about the electronic here, because they really do apply here. On the print side, so for example, Jed, if we show up, if we have an exclusive at a show and it's only our publication being distributed,
right.
That's bonus circulation, right?
Right.
I worked with a client for years and years, Jed, in California. They were an automotive publication. They built their entire business attending 60 shows throughout the western United States. That's
right.
All they did. They showed up at weekend shows where there were automotive enthusiasts, you know, kind of the hot rodding and customization and so forth. All they did was bring their publication to those shows and sold millions of dollars of advertising. And our pitch there was, hey, my competitors are just available as free publications. We go to the actual events where people give up their entire weekend, and we're there distributing our publication. What a cool story, right? You know, our readers are the most enthusiastic, right, Jed? You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. That makes
okay.
sense.
Mm-hmm. So, so this point about extra bonus circulation is a huge point. If you have, again, in free space, if you have bonus circulation or anything that is extra that your competitors don't have, be certain you get that in writing. Get it on the, you know, in other words, if you have, you know, the Auto Club of Los Angeles, you know, that brings you to their annual show and you're the only publication, you have them on their letterhead write up a note that says, "Dear Ernest and Jed, we so love your Hot Rod publication, and you are the premier publication in the Los Angeles area, and we're delighted that you'll be the only publication available at our Hot Rod show in Los Angeles every single year." Bing, bing, bing. Okay? A huge opportunity. All right? For those of you on the circulation side, whether it's paid or with your controlled circulation, same rules apply if you have anything unique that helped you to drive more paying subscribers or more readers that are focused on your target audience, same exact rules apply. But you have to get it, and you want to get it in writing. As a little sub-point to that, please, whenever you have those kind of exclusive arrangements, go get that agreement in writing. Do not leave that as a handshake, because if I'm your competitor and I learn that you're the only one at the Hot Rod show, you know, in Los Angeles, and I know there's not a written agreement, I'm going to go in with a new agreement. I'm going to get it in writing, and I'm going to move you out. I do not want to be the tail of that dog, I'll tell you right now. And I'm going to go in, and I'm going to put that in writing and make some promises and formalize it, and I'm going to scoop you right out of there, okay? And I'm going to hope that that show organizer doesn't, you know, tip my hand to you before I can get that done. Now, on the electronic side, doesn't matter, free, controlled, paid, on the electronic side, if you have electronic exclusive alliances, special arrangements, keywords, linking, anything that you have on that side, shout from the highest mountain, okay? On that side, you positively want to showcase that. That goes in your media comparison, that goes in your media kit, and that goes in your selling strategies. That's considered electronic distribution, and that's part of what you bring to the table. Jed, any thoughts on that related to alliances and bonus visibility electronically?
Yeah, I mean, as far as the links go, I mean, it's you know, I'm sure most people listening to this know this, but they're you know, trading links with organizations that your readers may potentially be interested in, and that their website visitors could potentially be interested in your publication is sort of a natural. You know, it happens all the time, and it's a great way for you to, you know, as Ernest said, you know, to say, you know, to make a point of saying that, you know, our website is linked to through, you know, these five or six relevant, important sites. So I think it's an easy thing to do, something you can do at almost any time of day, and it's bound to happen pretty successfully.
Well, you make a good point, Jed. This is Ernest just following through on that, because not only where you have those alliances, but then what can you what can you add to your sales story? I've got an alliance with the following organization and their website, and how many unique visitors do they bring, which
right.
also flow back to me and my relationship. So it's not just here's a list of the 88 alliances we have or the 88 links we have, but who are they and what do they bring to the table, right?
Right, exactly.
Okay. Two more points related to this, because I shared with all of you that there were six. Point number five, remember that your distribution and circulation story, we talked about using pie charts, we talked about using graphs where appropriate. I also like maps. I really like maps. I like maps that show here are our distribution locations, if you're a free publication versus the competitor, or here's the geography you cover versus a competitor and why we cover so tight and they waste so large, or why we're so tight but we pick up bonus circulation in other areas and why. All kinds of different advantages here, and every publication is a little different. I also like maps on the circulation for those of you that have paid circulation and or controlled that also show visually where your readers are and why. Could be color-coded, could be shades of, could also, again, overlay with competitors. So I like anything to do with maps tied in. And, again, the application has to be right for your specific publication and who you're competing with. In some cases, the pie charts and the graphs work best. In other cases, we use all three. We use pie charts, we use graphs, and we use maps as well. It really creates a nice visual.
And just to tie that quickly back, Ernest, to what you mentioned earlier, you know, you can do something there with the maps where you also show, based on the demographic information, you know, what the buying power is in that area. So, for example, you know, one great source of buying power information is are companies that are trying to sell franchises, and there are all these websites out there that have all this data. You know, one out of every 50 people will buy a new mattress next year. You know, and it's pretty simple math to determine. Okay, you know, if I have a circulation readership, circulation of this area as total, you know, a total population of X, you know, divided by 50 equals, you know, this many people are going to be buying mattresses. It's a relatively compelling story to tell the advertisers.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is the whole piece of it's not just the data. It's how to make the data work for you.
Right.
And then it's understanding, in general, how the data works for your competitors. So, you know, remember we started this call, and I know we have just a minute or two before the top of the hour here, but we started this call talking about knowing our competitors. And we talked about, you know, kind of taking a blank sheet of paper and putting us versus them on a blank sheet and being able to answer each of these questions and looking for those strategic advantages. I'm going to tell all of you that in a sales presentation, in a media comparison, there may be 18 to 25 unique data points of comparison. So distribution and circulation is just a portion of those 18 to 25. But with some of my clients, we only use 12 for some reasons. And with other clients, we use all 25. We build the story that's unique, that expresses the information for the strength that we bring. We always include areas that our competitors have also strengths, because if you just make it one way and you just tilt it to, hey, listen, these are all our strengths and we didn't cover any with our competitors, then that's a one-sided. You have to show a balanced perspective, but frankly, there's also a way to take whether it's 12, 18, or 25 opportunities and really showcase that in the best light. I want to make one more closing point, and then, Jed, I'll have you wrap this up. For those of you that are on the free publication side, if you have any contracts or rack programs with specific companies and specific locations as part of your distribution story, get those locations, put on the letterhead of those distribution companies, and also bring a copy of your distribution contract, especially in the case where you have unique distribution and competitors are not or cannot be there. Then bring a copy of your contract, obviously pricing is, you know, whited out, and then on the letterhead of the distribution or delivery company, the exact locations where you have those prime locations, okay? It's a subtle point, it's a great point, and it's really a biggie. Only in the free publication space does that one apply, okay? So in the controlled CERC, we don't have quite the same arrangement, and in the paid, we do not as well, okay? Jed, some closing words, and again, for all of you, we're going to open up the lines here in just another minute or so, and we'll talk about that in just a sec. But, Jed, some closing words for the...
thank you, Ernest, for guiding us through this, and hopefully it was worthwhile to those of you listening. You know, Ernest, again, we want to thank you for doing this, and... you know, and if we can help in any way in your use or learning of media bids, please don't hesitate to contact us.
Wonderful, and thanks, Jed. It's a pleasure being here with you, and really for all the support from you and media bids over the years, I really appreciate it. To all of you, please know that MediaBiz provides a wonderful service. Take a look at their website, MediaBiz.com. In closing, this is Ernest with Power Hour. I love working with publications. I've owned and run my own since the mid-'80s and have a deep passion for helping publications succeed. I'm going to go ahead and pause, Jed, and hold the recording. Just give me just for a second. I'll be right back, okay?
Sure.